morning, why don't you stand as we often do? Let us open the service with prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you. Oh, we need you, God. We need your help, your strength, God, your wisdom. God, we need you to meet with us in this place this morning. Lord, we've come with expectation in our heart, God. Need in our spirit, God, to feel your touch, to be enriched, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. God, and we ask you, Lord, do a perfect work in our midst, Lord, as we stretch our hands towards you and lift our voices in praise and acclamation unto you, God. Lord, we know, God, that we will receive from on high, God, those things that we have need of, Lord, as we come boldly and ask of you, God. Bless us this morning as we bless your name in song, God, as we look into your word to encourage our lives. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do. In your precious name, in Jesus' name.
Worthy to receive honor, worthy to receive. Week. I found that encouraging to me every single day. Verse 1.
Oh, well, I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, how his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won a victory.
Singing all victory
in Jesus,
yes,
my Savior forever. His cleansing power revealing how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my soul.
Yes,
and somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
There is victory.
Yes, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story.
Right here.
And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory. And all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Oh, well,
I heard an old story. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Oh yes, I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. How he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see.
And then I cried, dear Jesus,
yes,
come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and wrought to me the victory.
Oh,
victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Well, I heard about
a mansion he has built for me in glory.
And I heard about
the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus, I go up by going down. When I go down in the precious name of Jesus, he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? I'm sorry you just had to indulge your pastor, because it's been a while since I had the opportunity to dust the you know, get the dust off some of those old ones and just sing them. And man, I grew up on victory in Jesus. And I still have victory in Jesus. My victory doesn't come anywhere else. It's in Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you applaud the Lord one more time as you're seated. So good to have my family in town. They made it in last night. Had no issues with travel, thank God. But if you're upset about the snow, blame them. They have ordered it. They are looking forward to playing in it and having all that good stuff. But then they get to leave it and we have to deal with it. We'll hear from them here in just a little bit. But so good to have them. Looking forward to a week with family and fellowship and sharing and the good things of God. So just thankful that they're here. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn in them with me? And then I'll go ahead and have you stand. I know I just let you sit down just for a moment, but if you stand back up, and then we'll read the passage, and I'll let you be seated again. Get your Pentecostal exercise this morning. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 7, and then we'll turn to Acts chapter 2, 1 John number 1, or chapter 1 rather, verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, words following what we understand is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the proper response to the understanding that Jesus Christ was crucified and buried and rose again. And then after he tells them what they must do, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, with many other words that he testify and exhort, saying, and then it goes on, and the Bible says, this is what they did. This is what those that received the word, those that responded to the gospel, this is what they did. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. And in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Right there in talking about doctrine and breaking in bread and praying, there is this word that will be the focus of our study this morning, fellowship. Fellowship. How desperately we need fellowship. Not just in coming to the house of God, not just in coming and being here with fellow believers, but we need fellowship even outside these walls. We need to interact with one another. We need to be involved in one another's lives. If the only time we see or talk to our brothers and sisters in Christ is here in the house of the Lord, we are doing ourselves and we are doing them a disservice. We need fellowship. We'll talk about it here in a little bit. It comes from an adage, an old word, meaning two fellows in one ship. Fellowship. We're all in this boat together, folks. We're all in this boat together, and some of us have different situations and circumstances, and some of us may be strong in our walking relationship right now, and others may be weak, but we all need one another, and we all need to work together, and we all need fellowship so we can get this good old gospel ship all the way to Zion. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Focus thought for our lesson this morning is simply this. God has an eternal desire for fellowship with humans and has ordained fellowship among believers. So we look at our society today, especially in dealing with Western democracies, the politics of division is cynically being used to manipulate for power. They are attempting to divide. They do not want solidarity. Truly do not want it to be the United States of America. They are pushing for and they are doing things to incite rebellion and to incite violence and to try to manipulate. And in that understanding, we as the church, as a body of believers, need to understand there has never been a greater need in our lives than right now to be sons and daughters of consolation, where we are reaching not only to one another but to a world, to establish and to have fellowship. I understand there are differences. I understand that there is variety. I understand that there is, if you will, differences of opinions or ways of thinking. But we need to understand that it is important for us to reach out for fellowship. How can we ever reach to them? How can we ever convince them, if you will, that there is a better way if we are not fellowshipping with them in such a way as to lead them to that understanding and conclusion? We need to be reaching to this world, but it must be a balance. We have to reach to our brothers and sisters in Christ, at the same time reaching to a lost world, and do so all in accordance with the Word of God. But it is important for us to understand that God is about fellowship. God desires fellowship. The first church, what is mentioned along with breaking bread and praying and teaching doctrine, is this word fellowship. That they would have things in common, that they would. And that's really the intent. I understand that the people that may be outside what we consider to be the church, they don't have the same goals and they don't have the same aspirations and they don't have the same understandings and knowledge that we do. But the hope is that eventually in our relationship and in our connection with those people, we do start to have fellowship, where there are things that start coming in common, not where we capitulate or where we compromise in order to have common place with them, but rather where they begin to compromise what they would do in accordance to with the world and start to see the need for their interaction with the things of God and the people of God. But we only do so through fellowship. When it comes to you and I, our walk in relationship with God and with one another, there's nothing in Scripture to suggest that isolation is God's intention. Think about it. Nothing in the Word of God, specifically dealing with the New Testament, that even indicates that us being islands unto ourselves is a good thing. I understand there's times when we need alone time with God. We need our prayer. We need our devotion time. We need our wilderness experiences where we are downloading from a divine interaction with God. I get that. I understand that. I don't demean that. You don't forsake one for the other. But the reality is, just as much as I need that divine fellowship with my Creator, that divine fellowship with my God, I also need divine fellowship among believers. I need you and you need me. And together, we need each other. Think about it in the context of a boat. Now, we have motors now, and they, you know, you have big engines and propellers. But back in Bible times, in earlier times, it was boats were propelled either by the wind and the sails, or many times they were propelled by oars. And so whoever was setting the oars, if you will, or putting in people in position, it wouldn't make sense that you put all the strong people together on one side and all the weak people together on the other side. Because the only thing you would have is a boat going in circles. Wouldn't get anywhere. And so you have to put people together. And we need to understand that I need weak people when I'm strong. And strong people need me when I'm weak. Catch the understanding. Because we balance each other out. That fellowship with one another. That when I'm weak, they're strong. And when I'm strong, they're weak. And so we can help one another so that we continue on the path that God has laid before us. This fellowship that we have one to another. We look at the day of Pentecost and what Apostle Peter is saying, he says this in Acts 2:39, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." I understand what he's saying is almost in reference to Joel chapter 1 verse 3. "Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation." That this fellowship would continue.
Those things are passed down from generation to generation, from me to my children, and from my children to their children, and so on and so forth, so that fellowship remains. Understand this, a lot of what we do, a lot of who we are in our identity is a part of our fellowship. It's a part of us coming together and believing together and having those things in common. I'll move on. Even before the creation, if we look at what God said, evaluate it. Before he created man, God looked at his creative work and said it is good. But then he created Adam. Adam alone, Adam without fellowship. And though he did have fellowship with God, we understand this, according to the scriptures. Adam had fellowship with God, but there was something missing. And God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him. He needs fellowship. He needs someone else. He needs someone with him. There's something missing. It is not good for man to be alone. So in that context and in that understanding, while we see nothing in Scripture which tells us that isolation is good for us, the Bible tells us specifically that isolation in that sense is not good for us. Please understand, it's no wonder why one of the first indications that someone is backsliding is they start to separate themselves and less fellowship happens. I need you. You need me. We need each other. We need that fellowship one with another. Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah, recorded a communal song that is transformed, if you will, into a personal expression of a yearning for fellowship with God. And so there is that part that has to happen. We truly can't fellowship as we should with one another unless we do have fellowship with God. But having one without the other is not complete. It's not good that man have fellowship with man alone. It's only good when I have fellowship with God and with man. When both parts of fellowship are happening, where I am with God and I am having that fellowship with him. The song in Isaiah says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Isaiah, talking about the yearning for fellowship. The desire of our soul is to thy name. We need fellowship with you. And this is how we prevent things like a church becoming just a social club. It's good that we have fellowship one with another. But if I'm not having fellowship with God and I'm not downloading from the divine on a devotional basis where I'm spending time with God, I'm not being much help when I come together in fellowship with other believers. I need that fellowship with God. I need, why? Because that fellowship with God helps me strengthen the body, because we all are members of a body. And that fellowship with God increases, if you will, the strength that I have on a personal individual level. And when I am strengthened and encouraged on a personal individual level in my fellowship with God, I strengthen on a collective level. I help the body of Christ. I draw your attention. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We need each other, because your office and my office, and what you do and your strengths are not my strengths, and vice versa. We need one another. Furthermore, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Goes on to say, verses 25, there should be no schism in the body, no division, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You're individual, and your individual fellowship with God is absolutely essential to your fellowship among believers. I need my time with you, and I need my time with God. We need both. You find that Jesus, when he walked the earth, there were times he spent in fellowship with the disciples, and then there are times when he just resorted thither, the Bible said, to go pray. He had both. He had fellowship with other believers, but he also had fellowship and relationship. And so it's absolutely essential for us. The word there that we find in one another or another is a Greek word. I can't really pronounce it probably that well, but allion is how I would say it. It means one of another. This word is used at least a dozen times in the New Testament to describe various aspects of fellowship. Romans chapter 15, verse 5, the Bible says Paul prayed that God would give the readers the ability to be like-minded one toward another. Not always going to think the same way. But if we can be like-minded according to the Word of God and the principles and precepts of the Word of God, we can have those things in common. I tell people all the time, we can focus upon the differences, but why? Let's focus upon what we have in common. Let's focus upon those great common denominators that we have. Even throughout our fellowship, even throughout our organizations, there are differences, there are nuances, there are things that exist and things that are taught that may be different, but I don't let those differences affect my relationship or my fellowship, because I understand there is an overarching principle and there is an overarching understanding of our walk and relationship with God. And so I can fellowship with you even though you don't see everything like I see. Vice versa. It's fellowship. It's important. Mark 9:50. Jesus used the word to define identity as a disciple of Christ. He said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." It's the same word. That fellowship, that being a part one of another, that membership that we have together. Romans 1:12, Paul employed the same word to talk about a mutual faith one to another. He used it again in Galatians 5:13 to explain that believers should serve one another. It's not all about it's not about me just having fellowship with you to see what I can get out of the relationship. It's not about just attaching myself to those people who I think I can get stuff from. Think about it. It's about attaching to other people that I can contribute to. It's about us joining together. It's a locking arm in arm and saying, "Hey, I have stuff that you need and you have stuff that I need, and together we can help one another." That's what fellowship is about. Ephesians 4:32, Paul commanded his readers to be kind to another. Further in Ephesians 5:21, he used it to urge mutual submission, that we would submit to one another. James used the word twice in the same verse to command the 12 tribes scattered abroad to confess their faults one to another. That fellowship, that interaction, and to pray for one another, James said. Peter used it in commanding his readers to submit to one another. What Paul says in Romans 14, even in talking about little nuances and differences that may arise and may exist between us and others. He said this, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs." another who is weak eateth herbs.
All the meat eaters say, yes.
Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Don't let the meat eaters look at the vegetarians and say, hey, you're dumb. You don't know what you're missing. You don't think fat meat's greasy. I know it is because I eat it. You eat herbs. The Bible tells me you're weak. I'll move on. Let him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Don't despise them. Don't look at them as if they're less. For God hath received them. That's my brother. So he doesn't believe like I believe. So he doesn't like a steak. No big deal. One man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. Do you understand what Paul's saying? Listen, we got differences. You're gonna think things are important that I don't think are important. You're going to hold certain days as being a special, and I'm not. Vice versa. There's going to be things that you like and you enjoy in your life, and I don't like them enjoying. But here's what happens many times. Because there are differences and because there are nuances in those relationships, sometimes we think that someone is less because they enjoy that, and I don't enjoy that. Oh, well, they do that? Well, I don't do that. I don't know if that's okay. I don't know. Well, what is that knowledge based upon? Is it based upon your feeling? I'll move on. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord doth he not regard it. He that eateth unto the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Then he says this, for none of us liveth to himself. And no man dieth to himself. We are all interconnected. What I do, how I live, what I think is important, what I don't think, I am some way or shape or form connected to someone else. And I need to understand that no man liveth unto himself. That how I act and how I respond makes a difference. And I need to be doing things that foster fellowship. Not finding those areas in which we don't agree, but finding those areas in which we do, and let those areas be the focus. The main point is found in verse number 19 of that same chapter. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. I'm going to find those areas that strengthens both of us. Because if I focus on the differences, it's not going to do any good. Matter of fact, it may do harm. What I'm going to focus upon, those areas that I can edify you and you can edify me and we can be strengthened together. As Paul put in Romans 15:7, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You want to talk about differences? There's a pretty big disparity between who I am and how I live and who Christ was and how he lived. Hello. There's a pretty big gap. But he didn't shun me. He receives me, so I should receive each other. Just a few more points. So yes, there is that fellowship with God. There is that fellowship one to another, even outside these walls, but yes, there is most certainly corporate fellowship within the walls of the church, if you will, or within those events those corporate times where we come together, whether it's called prayer meetings, whether it's called fellowship, whether it's small groups, whether it's getting together to make peanut brittle, whether it's getting together to have lunch after service. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, Hebrews 10:25 says, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't isolate yourself. Don't become so busy that you don't have time to spend time with your brothers and sisters. You need to understand, you need fellowship. You need time with each other. Because the way I see it, even so much the more as you see the day approaching, we're getting closer now than we've ever been. Well, if that's the case, if the coming of the Lord is closer, then you and I need to be closer. I'm going to say that again. If the coming of the Lord is closer, then you and I need to be closer. We need that fellowship. I'll give you some faith. You can stand on your feet. It's coming to a close. Revelation describes the ultimate fellowship of believers. A glorious meeting when the saints come marching in.
Oh, yes.
That time of forever fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
I told my parents a few weeks ago when they were here, and obviously feel the same. Or will feel the same in a few days when I have to say goodbye to more family. It's coming a day when I'll never have to say goodbye again. My kid, I've never done good with goodbyes. Kinsley, she doesn't do good with goodbyes. It's coming a day where even those where life has separated, even those that have gone on to their reward, and I don't have that now, one of these days, one of these days, I'm going to get to see Grammy again. I'm going to sit down with Granddaddy. I'm going to see Grandma, Grandpa. I'm never going to have to say goodbye again. A forever fellowship. Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10 says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. They had some things in common. They were from everywhere, all over the place, all nations and kindreds and tongues, but they all were dressed the same. And they all had palms in their hands and cried with a loud voice. They're all saying the same thing. Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. A multitude without number will make up a forever fellowship. I said, Lord, if this on this life is a dress rehearsal, if you will, this is the practice for the final forever act, well, let me have fellowship. Let me see the need to have that commonality between my brothers and sisters. I won't focus upon the differences. I won't focus on the faults and the failures. I won't focus upon the glaring humanity that exists in their life, because it glaringly exists in my own. I will focus upon the areas where we can fellowship and edify one another and strengthen one another, and that we all can be individual members of this great body of believers, and one day we will fellowship forever with one another over there.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to that.
You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand.
I need you.
Together we will
you need
work
me.
Till he comes.
There may be differences in our lives. Our backgrounds
There's
may be
no
different.
Foe that can defeat us.
But we should allow those differences to unite. guide us, to make us understand we all need each other.
As long as there is love, we will stand. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand.
Just a few moments, our classes will be returning. Why don't we take this opportunity to find a place to pray? The classes return, they will find us in fellowship with our Savior. Can we do that right now? Whether it's around here at the front or at your pew, if you need to talk and converse, we'd ask that you would leave the sanctuary. Be respectful for those who are here in fellowship.
Snow.